Tortoise and the hare. Anybody heard that story? Aesop, but you don't spell it Aesop. It's spelled like Aesop. Aesop's fable. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to preach all day long for 4 hours if somebody don't say amen or grunt or something. I mean, there's going to be no lunch, no buffet, no nothing good's going to happen today if you guys don't rise and shine. I know it's a little chilly in here. Just move around a little bit. There you go. All right. Turn with me to Proverbs 4. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you receive that? Grace and peace is what most people, most Christians need. They actually have it. They need to stir up that gift that's on the inside of them. The gift of grace and peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tortoise and the hare. Well, we're really talking about the heart versus the head. How about that fancy graphic right there? Yeah? No, but I like it, though. I like it a lot. Don't listen. The lesson today is don't bet on the rabbit, okay? You with me? Everybody just say that. And I know you hate saying stuff. Say, don't bet on the rabbit. The slow-moving tortoise was ridiculed by the fast-moving hare, which resulted in a challenge race, which the slow, steady tortoise wins. The hare bolted out with great speed, but got distracted and stopped for a nap. As he woke from his nap, he saw the tortoise crossing the finish line. Well, you know, Ecclesiastes says the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. And then one of my favorites in Zechariah 4:6, it says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And then finally in Proverbs 21:5 in the Living Bible, it says, steady plodding brings prosperity. We all have some idea about the difference between a deeply held belief of the heart and a head belief. Those heart beliefs, you really don't have to try to believe a heart belief. You don't have to, you know, you don't really have to report on a heart belief. Think about this for a second. On a heart belief, you really don't have to report that I'm believing God for something. Amen. You don't, on a heart belief, see, nobody in here this week is gonna approach one of their coworkers or their friends and say, you know, I'm trusting God for salvation today. I believe salvation's coming my way today. But many times we have that report when it comes to most anything else. Maybe it's having your needs met, maybe it's your kids get off of drugs or your parents get off of drugs or whatever it is, or maybe it's to have enough money to make it, or maybe it's a healing, or whatever it is, and we'll say, I'm believing God for my healing, but that's not a wrong thing to do, sort of. We'll talk about it a little bit, but do you know if you're desiring a healing right now, that means by default you've got to deny that it's really yours right now. In other words, if I'm going to get healed, then I can't be healed right now. Amen. And so, really, my confession should be that I am healed, because that's what the Bible says about me, is that I am healed. A heart belief is something that you don't really have to work on. In fact, in one place, the Bible says, labor to enter into my rest, and a heart belief comes by laboring to enter into the rest. In other words, I do the work of confessing the Word of God. I do the work of getting in the secret place and the quiet place and meditating on the Word of God. I get in the place of reading the Bible, and I write the Word on my heart to the point where it becomes like I heard a preacher say, it's like baseball bat faith. In other words, you can just beat a person with a baseball bat and they won't deny that truth, because it's already a part of who they are. That's more of a heart belief. Amen? Now, a head belief, heads will believe anything. You know, right around my house, you can change heads. Do you know, if I could change heads, I'd have changed this one a long time ago. You know, you can bring, I got three girls in my house, two with Emily at school, and you can have a mess going on at the house. I mean, you know, you can have everybody's a little bit, well, I'm trying to think of a word that ain't cussing to say, you know, just, you know, everybody's kind of, things are going unsmooth. And you can bring a piece of chocolate in the middle of that mix and solve the whole problem with a piece of chocolate. See, that's how the head is. The head is easily motivated by things like that. A candy bar can fix your mood. Anybody ever notice that? Women all know that. A middle finger can change your mood. Had a guy flip me the bird the other day. I wanted to jump out of the truck and chase him down the road. Sarah or Emily, was that you with me, Sarah, when that the homeless guy flipped me off? I didn't do a thing to him, I promise. I just rode by him with a paid-for truck, and I think he sensed it in his spirit, and he flipped me the bird. Now, isn't it interesting that one guy walking down the road had the ability, didn't even know me, and he increased my heart rate by flipping me the bird. Now, I'm talking about the blood pump. The blood pump started, And so I went and made my deposit real quick, and I had these great thoughts about what I was going to do if he didn't get too far away. And I didn't do any of them because I'm real mature. I tell you, man, I wanted to step out of my truck, beep the horn, and give him the double finger, man. Just give him, that's how I felt that day. And that's all. Do you know that, honestly speaking, in my heart, I don't hate that guy or even feel anything bad about him at all. In fact, if he flipped me the bird, he just flipped the wrong guy the bird, because I would probably give him anything I had on me at that time. And maybe he was just having a bad day. I don't know, but that's how heads do. See, it probably wasn't his heart that flipped me the bird. Anybody here? It was probably just his head. He's probably having a rough day. I guess if you're homeless, you're having a rough day. Think about it. I mean, it's just rough day by default there. And so heads kind of change quickly based on circumstances. You know, even a smile will change your mood. You can be all hot and mad and go in the bank line, and you had to wait a little bit longer, and then some sweet person behind there gives you a big old smile and says, "Hey, it's good to see you today." And boom, there goes the whole change right there. And that's how heads are. That's how the rabbit is. Amen. That's our mind, just jumping around like that a lot of times. A kind word or a harsh word can really change the way we think. Y'all probably never done this, but have you ever got the large pizza and there wasn't really nobody there to even help you, but there was no sense in getting a medium or a small because somebody might come over and then you got a real problem. This way you're sure not to have a problem. There's eight pieces or so in there, and so you eat five pieces of pizza and you're sitting there about to bust, really thinking about those other three pieces of pizza, really. When are the kids coming home? Because I could eat that before they get here. And then, you have presence of mind, just your mind. You sit there and you go, I think that tomorrow I'm going to do what? Does anybody know what? I'm going to go on a diet, some kind of a diet tomorrow. I'm going to go on some kind of a diet tomorrow. And your head just agrees with that. It's that 5% consciousness. It's the good thinking in your head, and you have a good idea because you care about yourself, and you say, "Well, I'm gonna go on some kind of a diet tomorrow." And you go, "Wait a minute, I can't start tomorrow. We're going to Cracker Barrel tomorrow. Maybe I'll start Wednesday." See, that's how heads are. That's a head belief right there, right? "I believe I'll go on a diet" is a head belief. Oprah only got it in her head. Because even as rich as Oprah is, remember she lost all that weight? And then you know what she did? She gained it back. Oprah never had a heart belief of herself being anything smaller than what she was. How do I know that? Because your life reflects what's in your heart. Amen. Amen. Maybe it's just such deep and heavy teaching about the pizza and all that. Now, we obviously need conscious thought. We need logic and reasoning. But I want to tell you today that our life direction, the direction of our lives, flows out of those heart beliefs. That's the automatic pilot. That's stuff that you don't have to work up. Your life goes in the direction of what you believe. And again, if you want to know what you believe in your heart, all you have to do is just look at your life. And if the Bible's true, which it is, then Everything that you're experiencing in your life is really, it comes from your heart. You say, well, I didn't plan. I didn't say you planned it. And a lot of things get written on our heart when we're really little. In fact, almost everything you hear when you're about 5 or 6 years old gets written on your heart. Think of it. Your parents say, the tooth fairy is coming. And so what do? You start making deals with your parents because you figure they got something to do with it. And you're going to put a tooth underneath of your pillow because at night there's a fairy that's going to come. And he's going to replace that tooth with some money. And you believe that. Well, you try telling your child that when they get about 16. Hey, if you lose a tooth, stick it under your pillow and the tooth fairy is going to come. See, what happens is about 7 or 8 years old, maybe a little bit older for some people, naive people like me, pretty soon you get to where you have this part of your mind that's called a critical factor. You sort of begin to think about things, and you don't just take everything that somebody says. You know, it's a critical filter. It's something where there's other names for it in the world, but it's like a filter. Amen? And so now when we hear something that sounds outrageous, like you can jump off the building and fly, your critical factor says, no, you can't, and you don't go up there and jump. And that's wonderful. You can walk out in front of a truck, and even if it hits you, you'll just bounce off it and be fine. My critical factor says, no, I've seen too many people get hurt like that. And that is really good right up until you hear something equally as unreasonable, which is, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. And then your critical factor chimes in and goes, wait a minute, this hurts too much for me to be healed. And now, if you find yourself in a place of making a decision about that, you might want to just go on and see the doctor right away. Because, and I'm not saying you shouldn't see the doctor right away anyway, that's certainly your call. But if you're trusting God in these areas, that we need to trust Him on a heart level. Remember, salvation is confess with your mouth, but not just that, but believe also in your heart, on a heart level. In other words, it's not so much just the words you say, even though they're important. It's the words reflecting what's in your heart, who you really are. I'm born again. I'm a child of God, healed, whole, delivered, prosperous, set apart. I've got salvation is mine. It's mine. It's already mine. And so as long as I'm trying to gin that up, I'm not quite there yet. So having said that, out of the heart flow the issues of life, not out of the head. Out of the head flows the bad mood, the flip, the bird, the chocolate works, the chocolate wore off. That's the bad thing about chocolate. It always wears off. Amen. I'm just crazy until I get my cup of coffee. Well, you drink your coffee, but the coffee's going to wear off. If you haven't settled that He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind before you have your coffee, then you better get a whole pile of coffee because you're going to need it because the coffee's going to wear off. Amen. Well, it just does. Right here in Proverbs 4. Amen. Is it Proverbs 4? Did y'all find that? My son and my daughter, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from before your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. We're not going there just yet, but in those first two verses, we see a great clue about how to write the truth of the Word of God on your heart so that you have a heart belief rather than a head belief. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, keep them before your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. For they, those words, not out there somewhere, not in the book somewhere, but the words, the ones that you've kept in your heart, they are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their flesh. Then it says, keep your heart with all diligence. And then this last part, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of the heart spring the issues of life. So life actually flows from the heart. We see the first two verses there telling us how to use the conscience to influence the heart, but the meat and potatoes of those four right there is life flows from the heart. Now, if you think about an unreasonable fear, think about unhappiness, think about eating food when you're not hungry or hating certain people, these are automatic heart beliefs that need to be changed. Amen? I just picked out a few of them. I've been studying all kind of stuff, trying to figure out how to, you know, I believe all these things in the Word of God, but so many of them I don't see happening in my life. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, if this is true and all this stuff I'm saying is true and I really believe it, then there should be some effect in my life. Well, I do have some obvious effects. I mean, I don't have any big medical problems, but you could say, well, that's just because you got good genes. You know, okay. Mom is doing pretty good. Dad kicked the bucket years ago, but Mom is she here? She don't attend church, but she's she's not very faithful to attend church, but she's lived a long time, I can tell you that. She's been aggravating for about 80. What? How old is she? She's coming up on 80, and I know we're going to have to throw some kind of party for her. But it's not, I attribute it more. I know plenty of people that got parents that lived a long time, and they got blood pressure, and they got cholesterol, and they're way less than me. But a lot of times their confession is not right. In other words, they don't have a heart belief on this. And I'm not trying to be arrogant and say that I've got it figured out, because I just told you I don't. And so at the beginning of this year, right at the end of last year, I wrote down on a notebook. And I said, and I thought about it, I said, what's the biggest problem really that I've got that if I solve this problem that I have never been able to solve, what would it be? Well, for me, it's been a lifelong struggle with being overweight. So when I was a little kid, I was kind of a fat kid when I was little. We had a neighbor, Mr. Cave. He worked for Nabisco. He used to have me come down there with a wagon. This is training. This is carbohydrate training. I'd be that tall. He'd have me come down there with a wagon because he was such a sweet man. Mr. Cave was remember Mr. Cave? Just an incredibly nice man. And I think he stole the Nutter Butters and all the crackers and stuff right off the truck because he was a truck driver for Nabisco. And he would steal all that stuff, and he would put it in my wagon just so that he could stand out there and watch me drag that wagon full of cookies home with a big smile on my face. It sounds kind of cute, you know, fat kid dragging dragging Nutter Butters home. I say dragging home, but really dragging about halfway home. You know, anybody had a Nutter Butter lately is all I got to say. Then, see, we don't even need to go on about that. But it's always been a problem, you know. And so I said, if there was one thing I could change, it would be my weight. And I said, but I've been on a lot of diets. I mean, my mom had me on a diet when I was a little kid. I've been on a diet all my life. I need to lose 30 or 40 pounds, gain it back with interest, you know, get a little bit bigger. And so I said, you know, what I want to do is I want to change my heart belief about this, because that's what Oprah didn't do. I'm telling you, I've never met Oprah. She's never been by the house. But I'm telling you, if Oprah was thin on the inside, she'd be thin on the outside. If Oprah was healed on the inside, she'd be healed on the outside. If you were prosperous on the inside, you'd be prosperous on the outside. If all of these things, if you were a great soul winner on the inside, you'd be a great soul winner on the outside. Because this is, the heart is really who you are. The head ain't who you are. That's eat a chocolate bar. But your heart is the direction. The life flows out of that. And so in January, I said, you know what? I'm going to start influencing my heart on purpose to lose weight. And like I say, I've been on a lot of diets before, but never really have been able to stick with a diet. So I thought, this can't be a diet because I don't really have any faith in a diet. But I have a lot of faith in God, and I have a lot of faith in these verses right here. And so I said to my heart, now we'll get into this a little bit, but the Greek word for heart is the word cardia. So when I'm talking to my heart, I call it cardia. You could call yours Bill if you wanted to. Sam or George or heart pump or whatever you want to call it. But I know that there's a part of me called the heart, because 800 times in Scripture you see this, and it's not talking about the blood pump. And so I know that there's this heart that I have on the inside of me, and it seems to be able to regulate my blood flow. It seems to make my eyes focus. It seems that all of life, physical and spiritual, comes out of this place called my heart. And if God said over and over to influence your heart, right on your heart, we'll get into all that in a little bit, then I should be able to influence my heart. I should be able to write something on my heart. So I began to write on my heart with my mouth, "You're not a fat guy. You're not a fat guy. You're not a fat guy." I saw no visible change. And I even got on the scales. I weighed 337 pounds, which is not bad if you're 9 feet tall. But if you're, let's see, I'm 5'11", but my doctor, who is a really nice guy, can't read the little height thing. He thinks I'm 5'10". According to him, I'm shrinking, you know. And I'm like, "Dude, I've been 5'11 all my life, 6 foot to the ladies." I'm just being transparent. "How tall are you?" "I'm 6 foot." They're probably going, "No, you're not. You're 5'10", dude." But when you're 5'10", 337, that's too much. It's too much. It's not a good witness. That ain't good. And so I took my method there, my method of saying that, and kind of got nowhere with it. So I began to pray about it. You know, "God, come on now. Look, do you ever do this with God? I'm doing my part." And one day when I was praying, I had the presence of mind. In fact, I believe that there was something in my heart that got elevated to my head and gave me this. I'm not trying to be weird, y'all. I'm just telling you a true story. We'll get back into the Bible in just a second. I'm just telling you what happened in January of this year. And so I had this thought, and it was this. Your problem is you eat when you're not hungry. And Lord knows that's a problem I've got. I mean, I'm telling you, hunger has nothing to do with my appetite, with my eating, I'd say that. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Many of you know what I'm talking about. Struggle in these areas. And so I spoke to my heart, and I just said, "There's a part of you in there. There's a belief in there that I should eat for whatever reason when I'm not hungry. I don't know whether it's so that I'll get so fat that I think nobody will be able to beat me up. I don't know whether I feel like there's protection in weight. I don't know whether I feel like it'll keep me from being put on the spot for this. I don't know any of this stuff. I'm just trying to be a pastor 20 some years and tired of being fat." And so I said to my heart, I said, "Whatever part in there that believes I'm supposed to be fat, I need you, heart, cardia, I need you to talk to that part. I want you to identify that part and reason with it. You're the heart. Out of you flows the issues of life. I'm supposed to influence you, ride on you, commune with you, all of these things. I'm saying, do something." Now, I weighed 337 pounds, and Connie has a really good scale. I mean, it's not one of them ones that you weigh 337, and then if you hold your mouth a different way, you weigh 327, you know. Look, let me tell you what I did at my doctor's office till he got wise and got another set of scales. Because I hated him. I had to pay the $50 copay, and he'd say I'm fat, and I'm like, "Boy, there's a news flash." You know, he's like, "Your blood pressure's pretty good. Your cholesterol's good. You don't seem to have any problems, but you're fat." And I'm like, "Duh. I could have stayed home. I could have took a selfie and..." So his scale, if you stood way on the, it's an old scale because he's cheap. I love him. I love Dr. Seeger, but he's cheap. He's a cheap guy. Changes all his own light bulbs and stuff, all his air filters and all. If you were a doctor, wouldn't you be driving a Mercedes and paying somebody else to do your, that sort of, but anyway, if you stood on the very front, you could take 20 pounds off of your weight if you stood on the front. Now, you couldn't do nothing with the height, but the weight you could, and he would get the report and he'd say, "Oh, you're doing good." My buttons would be like, "Yep. Thank you, Dr. Seaver." He even felt kind of good just to hear him say that. He'd say, "You still need to lose some more, though, you know." So Connie's scales are, I won't tell you where she got them. Connie got her scales the same place Mr. Cave got all of those cookies. She stole them. Well, she borrowed them and ain't took them back. Oh, Miss Innocent Connie never did nothing wrong. Hey, we got a set of hot scales at our house. I'm going to tell you that right now. I ain't going to tell you where they came from because one of y'all might come. Anyway, so they're deadly accurate. No joy on these scales if you're eating. No joy at all. So without any kind of a diet, without doing, and I'm telling you, I'm not just up here blowing smoke. I'm telling you the truth. With no kind of a diet, I got on Connie's accurate scales today and weighed about 277. Now, I'm telling you, that I have not been on keto. You ask Terrence. I have not been on keto. If you were eating with me last week, you'd see that I'm not doing that. I'm not doing low calorie. I don't know what I'm doing. But I tell you what I'm doing. I'm trusting God in my heart. Now, what could you do about that? Well, maybe you don't eat when you're hungry. Maybe you got something else going on. And I'm telling you that if you don't take anything else away from this message today, take this away, that you can influence your heart to change your life, because out of it flow the issues of life. Out of that, out of the heart. You say, well, how does it look? I've read several books, and everybody seems to think they know that we're a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And then another person says, well, we're really a soul because God said, breathe life into him and made him a living soul. And then somebody else said, there's all these chambers. And somebody else, you know what? It's a good framework if you look at the Word of God to say that I'm a spirit because I'm made in the image and the likeness of God, and he's a spirit. Those who worship him will worship in spirit and truth. I've obviously got a body, and I've obviously got a mind, which is a soul. Sanctify them holy, spirit, soul, and body. But I don't for a minute think that I know what that even means. I know a lot of people. I was reading a book this morning where they were telling nobody else knows what they're talking about how we're made up, spirit, soul, and body. Nobody knows except the people that wrote this book. And I thought, you just think you know, but you don't really know. And if somebody tries to make even these things that we're going to be talking about like this, I'm trying to tell you this is exactly how you're made up, it ain't. Ain't no way. It's just a good framework to look at how you can deal with the Word of God. In other words, when it says the word heart, you can be thinking now, this is the center part of me. This is the part that my life flows out of. This is my heart. And if it says your soul or your mind, then you know that's the candy bar part. That's the part that, you know, changes a lot. It's like the hair. It's flitting to and fro. And I'm going to tell you right now, don't bet on the rabbit, because he's going to lose that race. Amen? Don't bet on the rabbit. Proverbs 27:19 says, as in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. The heart, as I said earlier, is the Greek word cardia. And it is the effective center of our being, mentioned over 800 times in Scripture, never referring to the literal physical pump that drives the blood. The Thayer's Lexicon says the heart is the seat and center of all physical and spiritual life. This heart is, we're talking about something that's a big deal. In fact, probably the biggest struggle you have in your life now is the result of an unscriptural belief that you have in your heart. You'll write that down if you write down. Listen, probably the biggest struggle that you have in your life now is the result of an unscriptural heart belief. And probably the biggest victory that you have in your life, or the area that you don't struggle with, or, you know, this area that other people struggle with, but you, it's like falling off a log. You're just a natural at it. Well, probably that's the result of a scriptural truth that you have written on your heart, and it's all good in here. Everything that God says to us is good for us. Some of it we don't understand, you don't get it, and I understand that. We don't understand parts of it, but the things that we can understand, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I mean, that's easy to understand right there. He meets all my needs according to his riches and glory by and through Christ Jesus by his stripes. You know, those things are real easy to understand. We can sort through the complicated stuff later on, But for now, let's go ahead and live in these exceeding great and precious promises, whereby we can be partakers of the divine nature, where we can be a person who just says, heart, I'm telling you, I'm instructing you to change what's going on in this body. It's just a thought. I'm throwing it out there. And I'm telling you, if you're struggling in some area right now, begin to do these things we're going to talk about with the heart. The way you influence your heart, well, there's several ways to influence your heart. But the truth is, it's your responsibility to influence the heart. The heart is some combination of the spirit and soul, and it operates in the subconscious. Now, don't get freaked out about subconscious, because we all got that. I'm telling you, we've all got a subconscious, a less than conscious or an unconscious part of us. If you don't believe it, what's your phone number? Okay, now your phone number wasn't in your conscious thinking 5 seconds ago, but now it is. What color is your car? Well, you weren't thinking about that. Amen. So if it's not in your conscious thinking, which is you looking at me thinking, gee whiz, for a guy that's lost weight, that shirt looks a little tight on you. or maybe you're going, gosh, when do we get to go to the buffet? How long is this long? I mean, you could be thinking anything with your conscious mind, but there's a lot more to you than the conscious mind. There's the things that got written on your heart when you were little. I mean, think about something a teacher said to you or your dad said to you that either, man, just made you so strong and powerful and confident, or just wrecked your confidence. The power, Terrence talked about this last week, the power of our words. Not just on ourselves, but that's a big part of it, but on the people that hear us. Talking, so it seems that the heart is the director and organizer of somehow of these beliefs that we've picked up that we don't really even understand. See, I'm no psychotherapist. That's obvious. I haven't been an MD but about 3 weeks now. I got no kind of qualifications to try and tell anybody why or how their head works on any level other than just going by what the Bible says. But it seems like the heart is somehow the director and organizer of our beliefs and even our bodily functions, and a lot of that stuff we don't even know where that belief came from or why we believe it. I've told you about my fourth grade teacher. Called me out into the hallway. Said, I like you, but you're not a very bright student. Well, so years later, I'm trying to make it through the apprentice school at the shipyard, failing every test, because it's written on my heart that I'm not a bright student. And then there, I met a lady named Miss Boyd, my savior educational. She said, Jerry Jutras, you can do any of this stuff you want to. She said, you can do this no problem. And she was an apprentice school instructor, which is way high up there. And I thought, man, if she says that about me, then it must be true. And something new got written on my heart. I finished with an A average. How about that? You know, the apprentice school's not an easy. I mean, there's a lot of my friends flunked out of the apprentice school. But I didn't. I had a great grade point average. Why? Because Miss Boyd let me know that I wasn't a person who was not very bright. Isn't that a big deal? Watch what you say to your kids, right? The heart is also the place where God is. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So Christ, or God, dwells in our hearts through faith. Romans 5:5 says that God's hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. And so here's this thing called your heart, and in this, it's some combination of your spirit and your soul or something. I don't know exactly what it is, but I do know it lurks in the realm of the unconscious. Amen. And so there's all sorts of beliefs, and there's all sorts of, in fact, I think that probably everything you've ever heard or learned from the time you were a baby is probably in there somewhere. Think about the house that you grew up in. Do you see it? A bunch of people do, but you weren't seeing it just a minute ago. It's. I'm not saying there's a storehouse like there's a place where all these things are, but it kind of seems like that, doesn't it? Think about your first dog, or if you were abused as a child, your first cat. I know, look at cat lovers. Let me ask you something. For those of you who are old enough, do you know where you were on September 11th, 2001?
Yep.
I know exactly where I was at. I was at Christian Life Center. Jack Hayford was preaching or teaching, and he stopped right in the middle of it. And actually, Tom Wells, who was the pastor at that time, walked right up to him. And, I mean, if you know who Jack Hayford is, you just don't walk up to Jack Hayford. I mean, he's like, you want to hear everything. In fact, Jack Hayford was such an intelligent person. He would teach, and it's almost like he was about to lose you at any time, and it was like if you dropped a pin, you'd lose it, you know. You just have to get the CD. He was that kind of a teacher with all those rabbit trails, and Tom Wells walked right up to him. And then shortly after that, Jack Hayford said, our country is under attack, and we're going to end this conference right now. And boy, we knew that was serious. And that information plus strong emotion wrote something on our heart. Me and Chris Hoyt were sitting there. We came back to my house, turned it on the TV, and watched over and over and over those airplanes flying into the building. And I know exactly where I was. I know what was going on that day. I couldn't tell you what I did the day before that or the day after that. But I can tell you where I was at and what I was doing that day. Does anybody remember, if you're old enough, where you were January 28th, 1986? 10th, watching the 10th flight of the Space Shuttle Challenger, which exploded 73 seconds into flight, killing all seven crew members, including a school teacher. Now let me ask you, do you remember where you were on January the 28th, 1986? If you're old enough, you do. I was in the Army. Boy, the Army was really happy about that. But they solved that problem real soon. In the day room, there's a day room. That's what they call it in the Army, a day room. That's where the TV is. And everybody was gathered around the TV, and I said, man, something's going on. Went down there, and they showed that Challenger blowing to bits over and over with little things going. Information plus strong emotion, write something on your heart. That's why when you're your kid's hero, you can't be calling them knucklehead and dummy and stupid and all that stuff, because you're writing on their heart. And guess what? You're going to have to deal with them when the seeds of knucklehead and stupid come to pass. Then you got to deal with them. You don't understand why they're acting so stupid, why they won't behave and all that. Well, you sowed those seeds in them. Good thing is you can dig them up. Thank God, because I'm telling you, as a parent, I've sowed some really ridiculous bad seeds. Thank God we can speak life, and you get your kids and teach them how to change what's written on their heart. The heart also seems to contain a God-like intelligence, and it's this thing where if you notice that you don't know the answer to something, but all of a sudden it elevates from somewhere inside of you in your spirit, here it comes. And now you know the answer, or you know how to solve the problem, or you know how to deal with the person. It seems that the heart, just a few more minutes, it seems that the heart regulates also the physical life. If you think about this, if I say something embarrassing to you, that wouldn't work for you, Todd, because you're unembarrassable. But if I said something embarrassing to you and you blush, your blood starts rushing up in you. More so if you say something that embarrasses you. And boy, man, here it comes. Or something scares you. Let's say if you're a mom and you happen to look up, and this has really happened to most everybody, I think, if you ever had any kids, and you look up and they're almost at danger. In other words, the road's right there and somehow they got out there. You know, it's easy for everybody to say, well, she should have kept an eye on him. Well, you try keeping an eye on two or three of them. And amen? And so what happens at that place, you're not digesting food anymore. Right now, all of your blood gets, by some higher miraculous way, all of your blood goes to your legs and you get the fight flight thing going on. And I mean, you're hauling over there to go save that kid. Let me tell you something. You're not digesting the hamburger at that moment. What you're doing is feeding them muscles in the legs so that you can go save that kid. What causes that? What causes when you eat the hamburger that all of a sudden all those muscles or whatever it is goes into action and digests that thing? What does that? That's who God has made us. There's a higher intelligence called God, amen, living on the inside of us. He's in our heart by faith, it says. He's in our heart. And we can direct that. We can direct our heart to change our lives. That'd be a great place to say amen. I mean, unless this is just, I've preached for a long time. This might be kind of weird or spooky to you. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what. Look, don't get all cautious when you come into church. If you're not going to be cautious at the football game or the baseball game or out here doing whatever you're doing at the bike rally. Don't get all cautious and spiritual in here and go act crazy out there. Go ahead and be open right in here to something maybe that's a little bit different. Amen? Consider the fact that maybe you could solve that lifelong problem you've been struggling with just by beginning to do what the Bible says instead of just doing the things that you already believe, because you don't want to, try nothing new. That's crazy. There's a lot of great things in the Word of God that seem super spooky if you've never, they're really supernatural. They seem super spooky if you've never experienced them. Amen?
Amen.
Seeing somebody who's supposed to die and then they don't die. I remember I told you this before, probably me and Kenny praying for that buddy of his that was in a coma. And man, when we were praying for him, we were just regular praying, We were just not the fervent prayer like we're getting somewhere. We just sort of, this guy's in a coma, let's pray, and maybe we can get out of here. Well, while we were praying for him, he starts moving and jerking and stuff. Paul and Timothy rolled in then. I'm going to tell you that right now. Titus came in, Man, we're shouting in tongues and casting the devil and doing all kinds. Nurses are just walking in and walking right back out. And because, he came out of that coma. Not right there. I wish that would have happened. Well, that would have been really great if he'd have just looked up and said, what was that, And we could say, the power of God, give your life to the Lord or whatever. But he did come out of it. Amen. And so there's all kinds of great things that we see in here that don't seem to make a whole lot of sense in the natural because they don't make a whole lot of sense in the natural. But I tell you what, they're good stuff. When it's hot outside, here we are, and it's cool in here, and let's say it was 100 outside, we walk out the door, and all of a sudden, without trying, our pores open up and begin to put some liquid, some water out there, actually some salty water comes out of there, and it begins to evaporate and cools your body down. And you, what part of you is it? Maybe it's the same part of you that knows when to digest the food. Maybe it's the super intelligent part that knows how to change that belief you picked up when you were younger that makes you stand in front of the refrigerator when you're not hungry saying, what can I eat now? And then just solve that one problem. Never go on a diet and watch weight just drop off of you. And after you, when you weigh 337, you got to lose about 50 before anybody says anything. And then about 50 pounds into it, somebody says, you look like you're losing weight. Well, about a pound and a half a week all year long is happening. Now, some old doubter will say, well, maybe you're sick. Let me tell you something. Not me. I'm not sick. I'm really, really doing better than I've ever done, far as I know. And to be honest, I'm talking to my heart about a whole bunch of other stuff. And some of it's a work in progress. And some of it ain't working, doesn't seem to be working at all. But you know what? If I plant the seed in there, what I don't want to do is dig the seed up. I want to give it a chance to sprout and grow, the stalk, the grain, the head and the grain and all that stuff. I want to plant the seed and then I want to go to sleep and let God do what God said that would happen if I planted the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Just a couple more verses, and then we're going to go. We're going to talk about how you write on your heart in the next couple weeks. That's what this series is going to be about. It's going to be about putting confidence in that turtle right there rather than in that rabbit. Don't bet on the rabbit. The rabbit's going to let you down. Salvation is a heart matter. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. Then you'll be saved. So we'll go ahead and close right there. And I tell you, I would love to continue on with this, but I understand that we have to stop at some point. And I want to tell you, this has been all of the kind of the groundwork for this thing. I encourage you to get the CD or listen to it online. If you go, this all is a little bit crazy to me, then be sure and get it and listen to it. And if you're dealing with something, go ahead and do this. Like, you won't go to hell for doing it. Go ahead and just begin to talk to your heart and tell your heart what you'd like to see come to pass in your life. And if what you're telling it is in line with Scripture, don't tell your heart you want a new wife. go on and keep it scriptural, amen. I mean, unless you need, unless you don't have one or something. But anyway, we're going to take this up next week, and just keep this in mind as you go, that people influence your mind as well as you, particularly significant people like your fourth grade teacher. They'll influence your mind and have a chance of putting you in a place where something will be written on your heart when you're young. God changes your spirit in the new birth. But it's your job and my job to influence our own heart. And directly influencing our heart is an area that I've neglected for ever since I've been saved. I didn't have any idea about it. And I'm telling you, there's something here, and maybe we'll uncover it. Bow your heads with me for just a second. If you're here today, you've never entered the family of God, look, now's the time to do that. I'm not going to call you forward, ask you to give a testimony, do preacher tricks and get you to raise your hand and then step out in the aisle. And then if you're bold enough, hit the cymbals and do it again and all that stuff. No, I'm telling you what, just right where you're at, if you say, well, I've never entered the family of God, then look, let's go ahead and just get that straight right now. It's just a matter of confessing with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead. And that begins with a confession. If you're here today and that's you, you need to pray that prayer. We'll all stand together and pray. It won't call you forward. Anybody at all? Anybody say, I'm not too sure about that. The Bible tells us that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if that's you and you're not sure, get it straight right now. Don't wait. Anybody at all? Praise God. Then we say we're all born again, living for the Lord. Got a heart that's full of God and the Word of God and receptive to change. Step up and let's go ahead and stand up and we'll close the service with a beautiful song. Father, we thank you for your holy written word. We thank you, God, that you influence our thinking and our heart, and you've called us your very own. And so, Father, I thank you for each person that's in this place today. God, I thank you for your hedge of protection that is about us. No weapon formed against us would prosper, even a tongue which would rise against us in judgment would be condemned. And for us, our boys and girls, both young and old, Father, we thank you that with long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. And finally, Paul said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.